So we're going to be in Luke 15. Before we jump into this passage, this is a well-known passage. Many of you who, at least if you've grown up in church, this would be a well-known passage to you. It's often called the prodigal son. But being on these trips, it was encouraging to places that seemed like it was just impossible, that there didn't seem like there was any chance that a church or ministry could be done in these hard places. And so, especially on this last trip, seeing God move and do some amazing things was encouraging to me, really bolstered my joy in the Lord. And the passage we're going to do this morning, we'll be getting back into Sermon on the Mount next Sunday. But this Sunday, I wanted to talk to you about a passage that really your joy is at stake this morning. This passage speaks to whether or not you're walking in a path of joy or not. And so that's where we're going to be this morning. And I want to tell a little bit about this passage before we get in. This story is well known in our circles, but it as a pastor I listen to, a preacher I listen to says, Tim Keller, he says, this is not actually a story of the prodigal son. This is a story of two sons. There are two sons in this story, and they're both main characters in this story. This is actually not just a story of the prodigal son, but a story of two sons. And so this morning, we're going to skip over, if you will. We're not going to emphasize the part that probably you know the best, the story of the younger son. The younger son went to his father and said, look, you're rich. I'm going to get a lot of money when you die, but I'd kind of like that now. You know, why wait until I'm an old man? I won't even get to enjoy it, really. Go ahead and give me my inheritance now, and I can enjoy this while I'm still young. And so the father, who was a loving father, went ahead and gave him his inheritance before he died. And so this young man takes the inheritance and throws it all away, doing what he wants to do. Doing what's right in his own eyes. And so this is, and he just blows it all and finds himself in poverty. And he looks at his situation and says, look, the people who work for my dad are better off than I am. So at the very least, I can go and try to get a job. I don't deserve to be a son anymore, but I'll go and I'll try to get employment for my dad because at least I know I'll be taken care of. And so that's what he does. He throws himself at the mercy of his dad. And his dad is so excited to see him, he runs to meet him. He restores his position as a son and then clothes him with his own robe. And so that's where our story picks up. We're going to be in verse 25 of this story is where we're going to be picking up. And so while this is taking place, this celebration is taking place, this son is back. This is where our text picks up. So if you would stand, and we're going to read verse 25 through the end of the story. Now, his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he, the father, said to him, son, you are always with me, that all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, if you would bow with me. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you and ask that you would prepare our hearts to walk a path of joy. That we would be glad, that we would celebrate what you've done in our lives and what you are doing in the lives of those around us in this community and what you will do in the people around us and them coming home to you. I ask that you would allow us this morning to discern our own hearts, to examine where we are and what path we are walking, whether we are walking a path of joy, a path of faithfulness in living for you, or whether we are choosing our own path to walk, one that on our terms, one that is what we determine is good for ourselves. I ask that you would help us to allow this message to speak to our hearts, that it would challenge us, that it would change us, and that it would comfort us. I ask all this in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. So these two brothers really had a lot more in common than we think. I think when we read this, even though the older brother's reaction's bad, I think all of us could agree that's probably not the best reaction to have after a brother who's left home has come back. But I think a lot of the ways we've traditionally read this passage, it's almost like you have the good son and the bad son. You have someone the younger brother and the older brother. And so I want to push on whether this is really a good son this morning. Is this older brother really the good son and the younger brother the bad son? That's the first big idea I want to push. And then we're going to look at this idea of being a servant or being a son. So those are the two big concepts we're going to be looking at this morning. Whether this is really the good son and how does that reflect on us? What should we take away from it? And am I walking a path as a servant, which is not a path of joy, or walking a path as a son or daughter of God, which is a path of joy? So this good son, it says here in the passage, the father doesn't correct him. He says, look, I've never disobeyed you. I've always done what you've asked. And I think for a lot of us, if our kids would just do that, we would say, hey, that's pretty good. You know, if they'll just do what I ask, they're a good child. But I want to push on that a little bit. Goodness, at least as the Bible defines it, is more than obedience. It certainly is obedience. And so that is commendable. The older brother never disobeyed his father. He was always obedient. He stayed home. He always filled the role of the dutiful son, where his younger brother was the rebellious son. And so while it's commendable, is that really good? Was he really the good one here in this story? I'm going to counter that while the younger brother ran off with his dad's money, he threw it all away, he returns in poverty and brokenness, it's the younger brother that actually finds the road, the path of joy, and the older brother misses it completely. And so, here's why the older brother misses it. He's not as good as he thinks he is. And I think we all fit in this boat. There are moments where we can relate to the younger brother. There may be chapters in your life or maybe where you're living right now where you can relate to the younger brother. You're doing your own thing. You're setting your own terms. You're having a lot of fun that ends in self-destruction. And so brokenly, you come back to God and are restored because God offers that free gift to everybody regardless of where they're at. But I think more often than not, especially in our circles, at least in my own life, I think we can identify with the older brother more than the younger brother. The older brother, he's not as good as he thinks. If he stepped back for a minute, I think he'd find he had a lot more in common with his younger brother than he realizes. He's self-righteous. This is a really good thing to point out. He's trying to have right standing with his dad by what he's doing with his own two hands. Okay? The younger brother is trying to live life to the fullest, find a way to be successful and have a full and meaningful life by following a different path, disobedience. But he's doing it by setting his own terms and doing it on his own strength. And that leads in him realizing in brokenness that he can't do it. The sad thing about the older brother is he really is doing the same thing, just with the different building blocks. For him, it's obedience, that he's going to build a path that will allow to success to everything that he wants to achieve in life. And he's trying to do this by his own power, which leads him to be blind. He doesn't see that his own works are not what makes him right before God. Because here in this story, the Father is like God the Father. That's the parable in this story. He's trying to rely on his own accomplishments and say, look, I'm good before you. Look what I've done. When his heart is really far from his Father. And we see that in the next 2 points. Because he shows no love for his brother. While he's obedient, he's done everything his Father asked. He's a very unloving person. Look in verse 30. I want you to look at it. How does he refer to his own brother? He doesn't call him brother because he's disowned him. What does he say? He says, that son of yours. He doesn't love his brother. He's still bitter, still angry, and still doesn't even acknowledge that this other person is actually his own brother. So this man has no love in his heart for his brother, which we know in Scripture, you're to love. We're to love one another. We're to love our neighbor. We're to love our brother. But also, I would argue verses 29 and 30 show that he also shows no love for his father. Look at the tone and the attitude here. Look at his words. There's no love there for his father. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's accusation. But this is not words that are guarded with love. In fact, I would argue that he was more concerned about his dad's stuff than his dad. What he really wanted here was not his dad's approval, his dad's love, his dad. I would argue that he wants his dad's stuff. He's more concerned about his dad giving things away. And to be fair, that's his stuff. His younger brother's already got his inheritance. So everything that remains is the older brother's inheritance. But in this moment, he's more upset about the fact his dad's giving away his stuff than he is about his brother returning home. So he's not as good as he thinks. And I think we can relate to that. I think you and I, when we do some self-examination, when we look at our own hearts, we can relate to this older brother. We think, just like he thought the father owed him because of what he'd done, we treat God the same way. We look at God and we think that God owes us because of what we've done. And we do this a lot of different ways. We do this when we pray and say, God, if you'll just give me X, I'll do whatever. You know, I'll go to church regularly, or we make these deals with God, and that betrays an attitude in us that says that that God owes us, that if we can just do the right thing, God owes us. He's supposed to follow through. As if we're in a position to barter with God. As if we have something to give God he can't get anywhere else. Which is not a place that lends us to lean on God and trust in him and what he's done for us on the cross, but trust in our own strength. Or we can look at maybe bad things that happen around us and think, and just be frustrated with it. Be angry with, well, things should be better because I've X, Y, and Z. We can point to something we've done in the past, and we think that things should be better in our lives than they really are because God owes us. And in that moment, what we're betraying is self-righteousness, which is not a Christian trait. It's something that's sinful. You know why? It's because we think that somehow we can work our way to God. We think that somehow we can do something and have God be in our debt so that God now has to live up to what we want him to do, as if he were some kind of genie in the lamp, as if we have one over on him. Friends, we do not serve a God like that. God owes us nothing. The gospel is good news because God owed us nothing, and you know what he did? Even though he owed us nothing, but wrath. He loved us enough to put on flesh and become one of us and die for us so that we would have life. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe God everything. But the younger brother doesn't get that. And when we live like the, I mean, when the older brother doesn't get that, we don't get that. When we are relying on what we've done, and that's what we stand on, we miss the fact. We miss joy. We miss the fact that we miss the wonder of seeing what God has done for us because we're so blinded by the fact that it's our own two hands that have brought us where we are. And when we're living in that, we also we begin to show no compassion for those who are far away from God. Because really, when we're leaning on our own strength and our own accomplishments, we're kind of curious why everyone else can't just get with the program. Because that's what we think. We look around us and we say, well, come on, I'm doing this. You need to be doing it too. If you feel that way towards people who are far away from God, you are being self-righteous whether you realize it or not. That's the undercurrent that feeds the attitude that keeps you from being compassionate from people who are far from God. Because there's something in you that says, well, of course I'm right with God. I've done X, Y, and Z. What keeps us from being a compassionate people is relying on our own strength, our own deeds, our own accomplishments, rather than what God has done through us, done for us in His Son, living a perfect life for us, so giving us something we can't give. We can't muster up in and of ourselves. A perfect record. We only get that in Jesus. That's why He had to live a perfect life. We only have forgiveness for our failures in Jesus' death on the cross. We can't make it up. We can't just do better and make up for what we've done. That's not how it works. We had to have somebody pay the penalty for us, and Jesus did that on a cross for you and for me. And when we realize that, when that becomes our focus, we can be compassionate to people around us. Otherwise, if we're being the older brother, we're going to act like the older brother. We're not going to be compassionate to people who are far away from God. And it goes further than just an attitude. It's actions, too. Not being compassionate isn't just being angry with somebody or frustrated with them like the older brother here, but it's also being apathetic, where we just don't care that people are far from God. We're too consumed with what we have going on in our own lives. And finally, I think we act like the older brother when we value God's stuff more than God. We're more concerned with what God can do for me than God Himself. And there's some questions we have to ask ourselves. What do you think makes you right before God? What do you think makes you worthy to stand before God and ask Him anything? If you think you can do that on your own accomplishments, you are setting yourself up for destruction. Scripture clearly tells us that no one is righteous, no, not one. You can't stand on your own accomplishments because they're not perfect, and God demands perfection. Amen. Do you have compassion for those who are far from God? Look, if you don't see yourself as a wretch who was saved by grace, God's showing compassion towards you, though you don't deserve it. If you don't see yourself that way, you can't be compassionate towards other people. You're always going to want them to get with the program. And you're not going to be willing to go out of your way to minister to them, to reach out to them, to talk with them, so that they too can have life and joy. And then finally, do you cherish God's stuff more than Him? Do you cherish God more than His stuff? Now, I know many of you are thinking, well, where in the heck are you going, Pastor? I thought this was supposed to be about a path of joy, and this is pretty down. You're right. I mean, I had to talk about this because you have to see what's wrong, okay, before you can walk the path of joy. You have to identify with this older brother and see he missed it. He missed the celebration. He's sitting outside pouting. The father, just like he pursued the younger son, pursued the older son, where the younger son embraced that acceptance to come back into the home, to be a part of this celebration, the older brother rejects it. He wants nothing to do with it. He wants nothing to do with his father. He wants nothing to do with joy. When faced with guilt, like what we just talked about, and I'm hoping you're feeling some guilt. You should be. I am, okay? With being the older brother. That's the point. There are two ways we can react, and one is a path of joy, and one is a path of a slave. We can respond as the younger brother did when the father entreated to him, or like the older brother did. The younger brother, this is the path of joy. When we feel this kind of guilt, when the scriptures convict us of where we are falling short, we need to be like the younger brother and throw ourselves at the mercy of God. We say, look, I realize I'm a mess. I'm broken. I've got issues. I need you to clothe me with your righteousness. I need you to change me. I need your spirit to work in me and through me and strengthen me because I can't do this. This is the path of the Christian. This is the path of joy. And people miss this, and I know they miss it. It's because you can visit a church on any given Sunday and you have people in there that look like they sucked on a lemon. They've been in church their whole lives and they're the most angry, bitter people you've ever met in your life. And it's because they've missed the path of joy. At some point, they thought it was about what they needed to do, that they just needed to do harder. And look what they've done. Look how well they've attended. Look how well they've given in the church. And they look at people around them, and the reason they're so angry and bitter, they wonder why everyone else can't just get with it. Why they just can't just do better. Because they've missed the whole point of the faith, which all comes back to the gospel. You and I are still in need of a Savior. We're broken. We're messed up. Don't be the older brother. Be the younger brother. Follow the path of joy. Joy begins with owning the fact that you're messed up. Okay? Joy begins with you just throwing yourself at the mercy of God. Saying, look, I know I messed up. I know I'm broken. Forgive me. And trusting in... trusting in what Jesus has done for you. God has shown you compassion in sending His own Son to die for you. He loves you. This is why you should throw yourself at His mercy. He's demonstrated that He loves you. He's come to you. He didn't wait for you to come to Him. Just like the younger son. Go back and reread this. The younger son was going to his father. His father sees him from far off and runs to meet him. The father loves his son. He's pursuing him, seeking him out. God's done the same for you in sending His son Jesus. God became one of us. He's not looking for you to work your way up to Him. He's come to you in His Son. He's clothing you with Jesus' perfect record, not yours. Here's what I mean. The older son, the reason why, and I think there's a beautiful picture here. The younger son allowed himself to be clothed by the Father. He was dirty and ragged and did not look like a son. And here the father takes off his own cloak, his own outer garment, and covers his son so that he would be identified and gives him a ring, a signet ring, to show he's my son. But he allows himself in humility to be clothed by his father. While the older brother stands back and says, look what I've done. He doesn't allow himself to be clothed by the father. He looks at his own accomplishments and said, look, I've accomplished this. I've done this. I'm the true son here. Look what I've done. I don't need you to clothe me. Ultimately, what you need to take away from it, will you allow yourself to be clothed by Jesus, or are you going to look to yourself to clothe yourself before God? Because if you trust in yourself to clothe yourself with your own deeds, your own accomplishments, you're going to miss the whole point of the faith. You're going to be one of those people, and maybe you already are one of those people who just seems bitter and angry about everything. Will you walk the path of joy and live as a son or daughter of God? Will you turn to Jesus in your brokenness and stop relying on your own accomplishments and what you've done for God? Because the truth is, God doesn't need you, okay? He invites you to be a part of what He's doing on the earth, but He doesn't need you. The Christian walk is not an obligation and a duty that you're to do begrudgingly. It is an opportunity. It is a privilege that you get to be a part of. It's a path of joy. Christianity is not a religion where a bunch of people are repressed and people have really done us a disservice in the faith because they've missed the point. Christians have missed the point and caused other people to miss the point. They think that we're a bunch of prudes. We don't like to have any fun. When you come to the faith, when you join a church, that means that your time of having fun's over. I actually had a cousin tell me this when I accepted the call to be a pastor. She said, you're not going to have any fun anymore. And I just wondered, what are you talking about? Well, it's because she grew up around people who acted like that. And the reason that you and I do this, because we do act this way, I act this way still, I have to fight this battle, is because we fail to realize that everything that we have is a gift from God, that the status we have is a gift from God, and our deeds mean nothing. They're a blessing, they're an offering, they're a beautiful fragrance to God. He enjoys them, but He doesn't need them. You and I are to serve out of joy and out of love and out of the excitement. We get to be a part of what God's doing, not a sense of obligation and duty, and because that builds pride. We have to let go of pride, humble ourselves, admit that we're broken and messed up, even if we've done all the right things. The truth is, you've got a lot of issues. Just like this older brother did all the right things, but he had issues. The hatred for his brother, his disrespect towards his father, betrayed the fact this man had issues he wasn't wanting to deal with. He was covering them up with his deeds. Are you doing that? Because if you're doing that, you can't walk in a path of joy. And I think this is how people become drawn to our way of living that's different than everybody else's. It's not because we're so much better than everybody else and we do so much good than everybody else. And, you know, some people actually may do more good than we do. It's because we walk a path of joy. What we do that's good, what we do to serve other people, what we do that's compassionate, isn't out of obligation or a chance to one-up somebody or a chance to hook somebody in. It's out of a genuine love and compassion for other people because God has loved us when we didn't deserve it. Will you walk that path? Look, we're going to wrap up this morning. If you've, maybe you've realized that I don't know that I've ever allowed God to clothe me. I don't know that I've ever gone to Him and said, I'm a broken mess and I want to live as a son or daughter. I don't want to live as a servant having to do things to earn my keep. I want to live as a son or a daughter and be a part of what you're trying to do on the earth. I want to live a life that's filled with joy and not bitterness. If you're realizing that maybe for the first time in your life, come forward this morning. I'll pray with you. We'll get that straightened out. Maybe you as a Christian have realized, I have become embittered. I don't know that I have joy in my life. I ask that you would come forward. Pray with me. You can pray up here. This is why we have this open this morning. So you can come up here and pray and ask God to give you a heart of joy, to rely on His righteousness and not your own, to help Him break in you a heart of pride, a heart of bitterness, a heart of anger. So, if you would stand, I'm going to pray over you, and then you respond as the Lord leads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and this parable that you spoke to us that helps us see that where true joy is found. It's found in you. It's found in giving our lives to you and throwing ourselves at your mercy, owning the fact that we're broken and messed up so that you can restore us, so that you can help us to pursue and be restored to the mission, to the calling, to the design you have for our lives, that we would fulfill the purpose you have for us on the earth instead of trying to fulfill our own. I ask this morning if there's anyone here who has never really felt like they've become a son or a daughter of God, that you would draw them to yourself this morning. You would give them strength and courage they need to step out on faith and embrace you as their father and allow you to make them new. I ask all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.